You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. Happy Wednesday to you. Hey, it's hump day already. Halfway through this week, I thank you for joining us here. This program is brought to you by the excellent people of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Wednesdays. That means we meet tonight. We actually had someone came by last week because their son heard on the radio me reminding you that we got church. We have church at 6 o'clock tonight. So if you are tuned into the afternoon rebroadcast, you guys have 28 and a half minutes to make it to church. Even if you're a minute or two or five late, I invite you and encourage you, come on by, worship with us. Wednesday nights are much more informal. We're starting a brand new book, which I'll be teaching tonight, and that is 2 Peter. Three chapters of that one. We should be in it about 3 weeks. Starts tonight, Wednesday night. We would love to see you. Sunday morning, my sermon is going to be a follow-up of what we're going to hear here today. Now, today's sermon comes from Acts chapter 5, and it's looking at two people. Their name was Ananias and Sapphira, who God instantly killed on the spot through the Apostle Peter for lying to him, ultimately lying to God. The revelation here is lying to the spiritual leader of the church was the same as lying to God. Otherwise, these two guys wouldn't have done what they did if Almighty God was standing before them. But Peter, you know, hey, how's he going to know? Maybe they said, what's going to happen to us? Are we going to die for this? Well, yes, they did. That's where we're going to be here today, Ananias and Sapphira. This will play here today, Wednesday and Thursday. This Sunday, I want to look at how people like this, how people like Ananias and Sapphira ended up in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's an answer for that. That's where we're going to be. My sermon is entitled The Mysteries of the Kingdom, and that will be in Matthew chapter 13. More on that as the weekend draws near. Here today now, let's get into the Word. Let's look at how the Apostle Peter dealt with two people who lied to his face. Ananias and Sapphira. Boy, what a picture, huh? If you've ever read this before, I was telling Minnie earlier, our little 12-year-old that was here, that what's going to happen to two people for lying to God here today. Now, we're up to the fifth chapter of Acts this week. And the two famous early members of the church, Ananias and Sapphira, you'll notice the subject heading on your handout. And in your Bible, if you're using a New King James Bible, lying to the Holy Spirit. We could say, in essence, lying to the spiritual leader of the church. If you're not familiar with today's text, this husband and wife are going to be knocked down stone cold dead, right in their tracks, for lying to God's representative in the church, and ultimately lying to the Holy Spirit. Because these guys were God's appointed leaders. So let me say here, before we get started this morning, let me ask the question that perhaps you might be thinking, and that is, can this kind of stuff we're going to see today, can these things
still happen today as they did then? Answer, yes, they can. But in a different way, lying to God can definitely bring judgment and will bring discipline. However, people dropping dead like we're about to see in today's text, as far as I know, does not happen anymore, at least not in such dramatic fashion as we're about to see. Because, as I've been saying all along, that was then. Acts is a historical book. Can you imagine what would happen in the churches if everyone who lied dropped stone cold dead? More on that as we move forward here this morning. Now, we're in Acts chapter 5. Matter of fact, let's pick it up, though, in verse 34 of Acts chapter 4. Acts 4:34. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and they brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. So again, that was then. God is not instructing you to sell everything that you had and give it to the leaders of the church, but Jesus is calling you today to follow him. Those are your marching orders today. He says in Matthew 16:24, he said, if anyone desires to follow me, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now that command is not historical. It's a fact for all Christians, for all generations. If you desire to be a God chaser, then let him, let her, let you do these things. That's for all generations. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus and be led by him with all that you do. As his Spirit leads you, so you go. Now let me say this too regarding today's text. I know people don't hear the audible voice of God anymore for the most part like they did back then. And we don't have the Lord Jesus here on earth anymore to speak to us, the Sermon on the Mount, and to teach us. We no longer have prophets and apostles any longer to speak to us the word of God and the commands of God. So I'm not so sure about a voice speaking to you, instructing you to sell your house or sell your business. Because first of all, there's no apostles anymore for you to give it all to. That was then. However, you and I are still led by a still small voice, which will quietly and persistently prompt you towards obedience to his will, whatever that may be. That might very well lead you to do different things, from selling something valuable, like a property or anything that God wants you to devote to him as a love offering. God may lead you to give away your beautiful Silverado pickup truck. I know someone who's done that. I encourage you to hold what you have with open hands instead of closed fists. Let all the good things that God provides to you flow freely to you and through you. God is looking for obedience from you. Now remember that as we move forward. He wants you, not your car. He wants your heart, not your money. The Apostle Paul never instructed the churches to give away everything that they owned. But then again, on the other hand, those who are in love are reckless at times. Reckless. And they offer up to God extravagant worship. It's the heart condition God's looking for, not for you to drain your bank account. It's your heart is what he wants. Back to verse 36. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it. And he brought the money and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, sorry to say, but this world's apostate church that we live in is way too corrupt today. And anyone who would call themselves an apostle is full of pride. I mean, imagine that. Here's your list and hall of fame of apostles. Peter, Paul, Matthew, James, and Hank Wiedemeyer from Cleveland. So sell your house and give all the money to Hank. You see, because Hank has a Cash app on his phone, and you can give it to him that way. See, this old church is corrupt. These kind of things can't happen anymore. Chapter 5, verse 1. I mean, how prideful is that? Your name is Nat Birnbaum from Schenectady, and you're an apostle? Right up there with Peter and Paul and James and John? That's nothing short of pride. You read in here what an apostle looked like. They probably had bashed-in skulls, walk around naked. Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and he brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Meaning, you weren't obligated to take part in this. Peter said, after it was sold, this was your money. You controlled it. Peter didn't say, give me all your money or else it's going to be cement shoes and thrown in the Dead Sea like the mob would say to you. So they gave the appearance of being totally sold out to God like everyone else was. This is the problem here. While actually they held on to just enough money in case that God thing didn't work out, and it was just a passing fad like all the other religions. Then Peter told Ananias, he says, you have not lied to men, but you've lied to God. Then Ananias, when he heard these words, he fell down and died. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose and wrapped him up. So now he looks like the mummy. The young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. But imagine that. You see, the church was just a few days old. Deliberate sin was not going to be tolerated like it's tolerated today. Again, this can't be duplicated today because there are no apostles of Christ on the earth anymore like there was then. I don't have the authority that Peter had. Neither will I, Lord willing, be crucified upside down like Peter was. Pray tell, I hope not. Though I sure do wish I had Peter's discernment. Imagine if I could know, like Peter did, those who were lying to me here at Island Community Church. Those who came in here but hated it here. Who were here for some other ulterior or diabolical motive. I sure do wish I had Peter's discernment. That's the gift I pray for all the time, more than anything, is the gift of discernment. Also regarding Peter, we're going to see that Peter now is an extension of Jesus. He's carrying out all of his work. It started with these awesome sermons in these last three chapters. Now today, Peter is going to know people's sins without even asking them. Notice, too, how lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God. Naturally, since the Holy Spirit is God. God the Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God because the Holy Spirit is God. Lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God, and the Holy Spirit is in the spiritual leader of the church, and he's leading him and guiding him. Matter of fact, You all pay for that here at this church. You pay money. to ensure that I am God's representative here at Island Community Church. You pay for me to be like Peter here in this text. That's what you paid for, and what you need in a pastor, someone with discernment. Someone who knows there's a devil in aisle 3. You pay for that here. You need to guard that with your life. Now, the Apostle Peter knew their sins without asking. Okay, Ananias is dead. He collapsed and died for lying to God by lying to God's representative. Now, how about his wife? Verse 7. Now, it was about 3 hours later that his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Certainly, they had to separate them because his wife would have seen what happened to him. You know, she would have pulled an Adam and she would have said, no, not me. It's that woman you gave to me. You know, the old accusing fingers would have come out. No, they had to separate them. Well, they're going to separate them because he's done dead as a doornail now at this point. But I'm sure she would have changed her tune if he was lying down there on the ground dead like this. So she comes in, not knowing what had happened. Verse 8, so Peter asked her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yep, for so much. All right, so here comes old Sapphira coming back from the camel dealer in town and from getting her hair done. I mean, these two are rolling in dough right about now, right? They got all this money from selling their property. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying a camel, and there's nothing wrong with getting your hair done and using your own money for it, but don't lie to God about it. Peter said, this was your money. You're free to do whatever you want, but don't lie to God about it. That's not how he's going to build his church. Not going to be built on you lying about it. Be honest about it. In the early days of the church, lying to God would not be tolerated. So tell me, Pete says, did you sell the land for the same amount of money that your husband said? And she said, yep, the same amount. You know, I was telling Pastor Darren a mile, of all the things I've done wrong, I don't think I've ever done that one. I mean, I've probably lied to countless hundreds of people in my life. I've let God down hundreds of times in my life. I have probably sinned when I know that I shouldn't have sinned in my life. But lying to God? I mean, imagine, you know, you're praying to God. I said, God, my name is Tom Selleck. I'm 6'5", 175 pounds. I was born in Australia. And my mother's name is Gertrude. Who would do that? We're going to get to the answer of that. Who would do that? Because there's a certain group of people that have a certain daddy, you see, that it's their nature to do that. And this is what happened to these guys. We're going to get to that here coming up. So Peter said, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? So how did that conversation go? Can you imagine that? Psst. Let's tell Pastor Pete that we sold the property for so much, and we'll just keep the rest. No one will know. I mean, Pastor Pete's just a man, right? It's not like he's psychic or something. It's not as if we're lying to God or something. Lying to God's representative in that day was lying to God. And I don't think that that's a chance that you want to take today, that that doesn't apply today. Anyway, why would you? Why would you? So Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, or look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and died. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. I can hear it now, right? Here come these guys coming back in, and they say, here we go again. Don't put the shovel away yet, Hector. Old Pete's not done yet. I mean, they barely come back in, and now here's another one. There's Stone Cold Dead here in the church. They probably came back, and they probably still had their shovels when they came back in this time after this one. But what a shock and a revelation that lying to the spiritual leader in the church was the same thing as lying to God. They didn't lie to God. They lied to Peter. But Peter said, you didn't lie to me. You lied to God. That's a shocking revelation. Lying to the pastor of the church was the same thing as lying to God. That's shocking for me. That's shocking. I didn't see that way. If it was the Lord standing in front of them, maybe they wouldn't have done that. They lied to a man. No, that's not what the Bible says. They lied to God. Now, as a result, verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all, that is, all the unbelievers and everyone else as well. Not just the church, all the church and upon everyone who heard these things. Now, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which he is, and if God says, I am the Lord, I change not, and he doesn't, then why don't people drop dead today for lying to God the same as these people did? My answer to that is, who says they're not? Who says they're not? I know personally of two people in Brevard County who died a mysterious death after lying about one of God's spiritual leaders for the purpose of causing harm to that person. Listen to what Jesus told this pastor from a city named Thyatira. He said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, he said, I've got this against you. He's talking to the spiritual leader of the church. I've got this against you, that you tolerate that woman. My translation says you tolerate your wife, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not wish to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I am casting her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, if they do not repent of her works. Then he says this, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches will know. That's funny. That's just like the book of Acts. All the churches will know that I am he who searches minds. Actually, that word means your gut feelings. I am he that searches your gut feelings and your hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now, sometimes lying to God or some other unrepentant sin will bring sickness to people. Don't listen to these charismatics out here with bad doctrine. Some sickness can come from God, not just the devil, like verses we just looked at. You cannot rebuke this sickness when God sends it to you. Here's another sickness that comes from God. Let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians 11:27. From taking Holy Communion the wrong way. Paul said, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup irreverently will be guilty of the body of the Lord and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and in this way let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's why we're quiet before we take communion here, right, church? It's not how we do this. It's a serious, it's a somber thing. We take the time and realize what Jesus did by dying in our place. That's why we don't take it haphazardly. Because of this. Because the same thing that happened to these two guys might not happen in exactly the same way, but let a man examine himself, and in this way let him eat from the bread and drink from the cup. For he that eats and drinks irreverently eats and drinks a judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. All right, now here's how to remedy that. Let me keep reading. Well, first of all, he says, because of this, many of you are weak and sick, and many have died. He said, because of this, for taking Holy Communion irreverently, not with the understanding that this is sacred and it's holy. We're remembering what Jesus did on the cross, something not to be taken lightly. That's why he says, because of this, many among you are weak and sick, and many have died. Now, here's how to remedy that. Verse 31. He says, for if we would judge ourselves correctly, then we would not be judged. Simple solution, right? If we would judge ourselves correctly, then we would not be judged. Now, here in the case of Ananias and Sapphira and the early church, that would look like something like this. Peter, we didn't sell that house for that much. We kept back some of the money for ourselves. But we want to be real, Peter. I've got anxiety about the prospect of not having anything. How many people in this church can relate to the idea of the notion of not having a dollar to your name? Right? All you got to do is be honest. That's what he's looking for. I have anxiety of the prospect of not having anything. I fear losing my security. You see, that's real. And that's truth. And that's normal to feel that way. And that's what he's looking for from us. To be real. And to be truthful. He can handle that when we're real and truthful with him. All right. So after what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible says, to no one's surprise, in verse 11, it says, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Boy, can't you just hear that now, too? That little buzz, right? Psst. Did you hear what happened to old Annie and Sapphira? Boy, can't you? What a juicy tidbit of gossip that must have been. Psst. Imagine that. I mean, if someone gets a flat tire at the church down the street, we hear about that. I mean, imagine dropping dead here in this church. Boy, could you imagine the old Monday morning email that would have circulated amongst the Brevard Baptist Association over that one? Do you hear what happened over there? Psst. Like when Indiana Jones is on that blimp and he throws that Nazi out the window and they look at him and he says, no ticket. Then everyone holds up a ticket. You know, I've got mine right here. Same kind of thing here at the death of these two guys. Oh, no. No one wanted to join the church anymore after this one. And the message to the early church was, lying to God will not be tolerated. That was the message.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
91.5 FM, WMIE Radio, Today's Modern Worship, has an official Facebook page. You can check it out, like our posts, and leave a comment as well, and follow us on 91.5 FM, WMIE, Today's Modern Worship. Bye.